Welcome to the Shadowbane Podcast. Tonight, 1692, The Risen, Episode 2, Permanent Scars.
I believe what he needs now is rest. I shall return in the morning and check on him, but there are others that need tending. I am called away to the nurse household. One of Goody Nurse's grandchildren has been running a fever.
Oh, bless you, Dr. Griggs. Thank you for taking care of my husband.
It's my job, Sarah. Just keep a close eye on him, make sure he rests, and call upon me if his condition worsens. Also, be sure to ask him about that mark.
Of course I will. Thank you again, Doctor.
Oh. How did I get here? I was just in the courtroom.
Oh, hush, my love. Stay exactly where you are. You passed out during Goody Carrier's trial.
I don't remember fainting.
John Willard brought you here. Dr. Griggs came over as soon as he could. He said you might have overexerted yourself, but they could find nothing physically wrong with you. Except...
Except what?
How could you not know what I'm talking about? That scar on your chest. How in the world did you get it?
Scar? What scar? Oh.
Don't move! Dr. Griggs started asking all sorts of questions, and I was unsure what I should say to him. With all these strange happenings in Salem as of late, the last thing I wanted was for him to suspect witchcraft had overtaken you. I told him it was a scar from your younger days, before we moved here. He seemed to believe me, but... Oh, my heart hurts for lying to the old man.
Sarah, you aren't making any sense. I don't know what scar you're talking about.
Give me your hand.
Ah! I don't remember ever suffering such a wound.
Were anyone else to know about it aside from yourself, it would be your wife. The wound is... so large. It has to be fresh, yet it looks as if it's been there your entire life. I do not recall seeing it until now. Can you not remember how it happened?
I cannot recall.
You did not return after your guard duty last night. I know they work you so many extra hours these days because of the trials, but... something terrible must have happened to you to cause a wound such as this.
Last night, the jail cell. What happened there?
We do not want to damage the body too much. My magic can mostly heal his body, but it will leave scars. His marks.
What is it? George, are you okay? Say something! George, should I call Dr. Griggs?
No. I'll be fine. Please don't worry anymore. I'm just feeling weak and confused. I need some rest. Can you please bring me some water, my dove?
Stay right there. I'll get you some water and something to eat. Don't you dare move! I'll be back in just a moment.
God, protect my wife and family. I know not what has happened, but I will find out.
Order! Mr. Mather, please continue.
Philip English, on the 30th of April, our court ordered a warrant for your arrest. We took your wife into custody, but you were nowhere to be found. Like a coward, you evaded the will of the court, not once, but a second time a week later, on the 6th of May. Yet you still will not confess to your whereabouts during this last month.
I have told you all that you need to know, sir. I was away on business in New York when you so rudely and violently invaded the privacy of my home and put my wife in irons. When I returned from my travels, I found my house ransacked and your warrant pinned to my front door.
You have yet to name anyone that can corroborate your story, Mr. English. I am of the opinion that upon hearing word of the warrant, you immediately set out for Boston and then took passage to New York.
And where exactly is your proof, Cotton?
This court shall disprove your claims, as well as your family's vendetta against the Puritan Church of Salem.
Is this why you keep going on about my faith, sir? There be no question concerning my love for the Salem Church. I am a solemn Puritan and read the good book every day. If you'll remember, I recently made a hefty donation to Reverend Samuel Parris. Those golden candlesticks at his altar were paid for by me.
Your Protestant upbringing is still apparent in your showy nature, Mr. English.
That is preposterous!
You will not be able to hide behind your money forever. It is my opinion that Philip English and his wife Mary are to be held in contempt of court. We shall continue our investigation on your disappearance and the claims brought to the court by Mercy Lewis and Anne Putnam. Take him to the jails at once. I want his smug face out of my sight. Court is dismissed. Everyone, please clear the courtroom.
Do not go anywhere, Mr. Mather. I need to speak with you in private.
Is something the matter, Your Excellency?
There is much on my mind, and I wish to talk with you in confidence, sir.
It really is a shame that someone with such wealth and influence in the town could possibly be in league with Satan.
I could honestly care less whether that pompous man hangs. That is not why I called you in here. I am far more concerned about what happened earlier today to Marshal George Herrick.
Yes, the poor man looked so pale when I went out to check on him. When I touched him, his body felt so very cold. My fingers tingled, and I could feel the powers of darkness that had overtaken him.
If that is true, then what do you suggest we do about it, Mr. Mather? Does the prospect of a court official being under the devil's power not worry you?
Well, of course it worries me, Your Excellency. I have spent endless hours every day here at the court. I am a man of multiple talents, yet I have made it my mission to rid our beloved Salem of Lucifer's influence.
Yes, and despite those efforts, we are still uncovering the existence of many more citizens who still use demonic powers to attack the innocent. A member of our court has already been bewitched. Who's to say that it will not happen again? Or worse, if Satan will manipulate one of us for his evil purposes?
Fear not. George Herrick is a weak-willed man. He has spent much of his time around the witches in their jail cells. As a man that has written extensively about the dark arts and the underworld, I assure you that I am fit to not only identify Satan's powers, but I know the best way to root out his servants.
I have never doubted the clear voice of God that resides in your soul, Mr. Mather. No, I'm speaking about others. There are those like George Herrick that guard the jails, which overflow with men and women who have failed to confess to the sin of witchcraft. Perhaps his time spent among these miserable wretches caused his affliction.
Or perhaps it was simply Martha Carrier's doing. She was visibly distraught and remained defiant in the face of your rightful verdict. We are doing all we can to purify this town, one witch at a time.
Yes, we have discovered many within our poor town. However, I wonder if we are doing enough.
Your Excellency, might I suggest we make haste in putting an end to the lives of some of the convicted?
Yes, the jail has grown quite crowded as of late.
And perhaps we might revisit our decision regarding those that have admitted to witchcraft. If they have confessed to being corrupted by Old Scratch, shouldn't we simply put them to death before they consider harming the townspeople? As far as we know, it may have been one of those women in the jails that assaulted George Herrick.
You may suggest whatever you'd like. However, it is I who makes the final decision whether or not a witch hangs. Those that rot in the jail have come around to God, and their punishment will be to live with their actions for the rest of their lives. Remember your place, Mr. Mather.
I meant no disrespect, Judge Hathorne. I fear that we might be making a mistake in allowing...
A mistake? The courts are doing God's work. Let us not forget that I have been appointed to cleanse this town. These weak-willed peasants would all be roaming around like mindless cattle under the devil's control had I not stepped in to help. There are still those within the town that are against the actions of the court, Mr. Mather. Were we to go back on our word and put those that have confessed to death, then we would lose even more credibility in their eyes. The handful of women who have confessed are working to become solemn now. Those that do not confess are our only concern, and we shall witness each of them sway at the end of the rope when their time has come. Are my words clear?
I only worry that...
I believe we are done here, Mr. Mather. It has been a long day, and I have not yet had my supper. See to it that John Willard serves an extended guard duty tonight, in light of George Herrick's current condition.
Of course, Judge Hathorne.
Salem is falling apart. The only thing keeping hell from reigning over us all is the court.
Excuse me, Mr. Hathorne?
My child, what brings you here? Did you not leave earlier this afternoon?
I'm so sorry to intrude, sir. I indeed left the court and went home shortly after Goody Carrier's trial. However, when I arrived home, I saw my sister. She...
My dear Anne, please stay calm. Where are your parents? What has happened to your sister?
I went home. Papa has gone on business. Mama was crying because my sister, Faith, my baby sister,
has happened, child. You must calm yourself and tell me what has happened.
Mama told me that Faith, little Faith, died tonight.
Your sister dead? How?
Mama laid her down for a nap. She started crying, sobbing. Mama rushed to her, but she was too late. Faith's body, her tiny little body, was twisted, bruised, torn open. There was blood all over her crib. I nearly passed out from the sight.
My God.
And that's when I heard it. I heard his laughter.
You heard Lucifer speak to you?
No, not Lucifer. Another. A man that said he worked for the court. His laughter, it echoed in my mind. I could feel him trying to take control of me. My body, it froze. Not with fear, but as if it were covered in ice. Black wings wrapped around me. Clawed hands dragged at my arms.
By heaven, your arms! They have scratch marks all over them! Tell me, Ann Putnam, who was this man? What was his name?
His name was John Willard.
Willard? Impossible! He's an official of the court. How could he... Please! Someone help this poor girl! We need Dr. Griggs immediately! And arrest John Willard at once!
I can't believe I'm actually being given an additional shift. I bet that damned Herrick was faking this morning. He looked perfectly healthy just last night. Now I'm stuck doing all of his work while he rolls around in his bed with his wife. I'd love to see what God blessed her with between those legs of hers.
I'm so hungry.
I have your slop right here. Shut your filthy mouth, you beggar. You are all no better than dogs, so eat your food off the dirty ground. The worst thing is that now I'm forced to feed that damned slave woman, Tituba. She scares me half to death with that heathen chanting. Good. I'll just leave her food here to rot. It's not my fault if the rats get it before she wakes.
I hear you sneaking around there, John Willard. Why are you so quiet? Are you afraid? There's no need to fear, little boy. At least not yet.
What do you mumble, woman? You shall not speak to me in such a crass manner. I am an official of the court, slave, and you are nothing but an annoyance. Save your ramblings for George Herrick.
I hear the fear in your voice, but you have no reason to fear Dituba. Dituba want to help you, John Willard. Something is coming. Something very bad. Only Dituba can help you when they come to take you away.
I've had enough of you. The devil take you.
A small child has died tonight.
What did you just say?
Dituba tell you whole story. But you must come to Dituba.
I'll be damned if I'm getting in that cell with you, witch.
Either you listen now, or ignore Dituba and wish you have not.
What do you mean?
Trust Dituba. She has the power to protect you. You may be a cruel man, but you are a smart man. Come closer, listen to Dituba.
If this is some sort of trick...
This no trick, I promise you. Listen closely. We must be very quiet. You always kept your distance from me, John Willard. I can sense the terror in your heart. You know the truth. You know who I work for.
Not this crazy talk again. Tituba, I have more important things.
No! You listen to me now! You whisper mean things. You say things about poor Dituba. You bring me moldy bread and spit in my water. You not kind man like George Herrick. You a nasty man with an evil heart. And that exactly what he likes about you.
Who are you speaking about?
My master, of course. The man with the black heart and bags filled with bones. He gave me great power. He asked me to bring him servants. He says you could do mighty good work for him.
Your months of seclusion have made you completely mad.
Listen. You do not have much time left. I used my powers to attack a young girl. A small baby that he asked me to give as a sacrifice. The girl is innocent, but her family is not. They have made many accusations, put poor women in jail. The family will go to court, and they will seek who did this.
You are a liar, Tituba. You have no powers, and no one has been murdered. I've had just about enough of this.
I show you my powers. Make you believe.
What are you doing? What? What is this?
My sister. She...
Tell me, Ann Putnam, who was this man? What was his name?
Was John Willard.
Arrest John Willard at once!
What did you do, Tituba? I did not.
I give you this one chance. Either you accept his dark powers or else.
No! Get away! Get out of my head! I'll kill you! You must die!
Ah!
Help! Somebody please help Tituba! He's gone mad! He means to murder! Help!
My God! He's a man possessed! Bring irons! Take hold of him at once!
Unhand me!
You are hereby under arrest and stripped of your position within the Salem court. Men, escort Mr. Willard to a holding cell and chain him to the floor. We'll deal with him in the morning.
She's murdered a child! She's a witch! I can still hear her laughter in my mind. Kill her, Cotton! Stop her before she destroys us all.
You poor woman. What has he done to you?
Help, Tituba.
Rest. I'll go get you some water. Just lie still.
Thank you for listening to 1692 The Risen, Episode 2, Permanent Scars. This episode was written and produced by Andrew Lister. The voice of George Herrick is David Milk. The voice of Tituba is Shaunice Turner. The voice of Judge Hathorne is Rob Lucas. The voice of Cotton Mather is Gene Michael. The voice of Ann Putnam Jr. is Viva Becker. The voice of Sarah Herrick is Sarah Mears. The voice of Dr. Griggs is Adam Salzer. The voice of John Willard is David Paul. Additional voice actors for this episode include Curtis Jackson and Stacey Carpenter. 1692 The Risen is a production of the Shadowvane Podcast. For more information, visit our website, shadowvane.net. Email the show at shadowvanecast@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at shadowvanecast, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/shadowvanecast. To further support our show, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to today's episode. To help provide monetary support, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/shadowvane. We are also a member of the Questionable Endeavor Media Network. Visit questendnetwork.com for more shows like Tuning Japanese, the Rundown Wrestling Podcast, Raw Attitude Podcast, and the Geek and Gamer Guild. If you enjoy our show, check out the brand new show on the Questionable Endeavor Network, The Slasher Sanitarium. Join our caretaker Troy as he reviews classic movies and other media in the genre of horror. Illustrations and creative editing by Ray Williams III. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can listen to more of his work at Incompetech.com. Until next time, dear listeners. Until next time.